Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here on this nice cool day. This last week I was working on a roof and it's 75 degrees and the sun is too hot. Well, in years gone by, the festival advisor would give a sermonette each year to go over feast-related topics and instructions, and I was trying to count up in my head how long I've been the feast advisor, and I think it's maybe 8 years, and I've never done that. So I had the opportunity to speak today, and I thought I would discuss the feast and some various topics and changes that we've made locally that relate to the whole congregation. God commands us to keep the feast. Keep all the feasts during the year. The feast that we make the most preparation for, of course, is the Feast of Tabernacles. And hopefully everyone has made the appropriate plans by now. But I'd like to go over some other things that pertain to the feast. It's interesting that God commands us to get away, to leave our homes and to go to the feast. There are some interesting things that happen when we do that. I was talking to Mrs. Luker before church about the ladies' weekend. And when we leave our homes and go somewhere to concentrate on a certain thing, it does something for us. When we go to the feast, we leave our homes, of course, and go to the feast. I've been to a marriage seminar over in Leavenworth, and it was very, very good, very interesting, because you leave your home and you actually go somewhere to concentrate on a certain thing. And God, of course, knows this, so he wants us to go to the feast, and he has made a way for us to do that through the tithing system. So what we want to do is, you know, our philosophy locally and nationally is to get as many people to the feast as possible. And of course, as I said, God has set forth the tithing method to make that happen. And of course, we encourage everyone to tithe and to save up for the feast so that we all can go to the feast and do as God commands, to rejoice before him and also to learn to fear God, to learn about God, to learn God's way, and it's a concentrated amount of teaching, an amount that we can focus our minds on God and on his ways, and really focus on God the way we can't do most of the time during the year because of our work and the daily grind we find ourselves in. So first and foremost, we want to save for the feast. I know in our household, when I got paid, the first thing that Sherry would do is set aside the tithes. And she was extremely faithful in saving the second tithe. And when she worked, she would generally add that to the amount that we had set aside for the feast. So it's very important to save for the feast so that we have the funds available. Now, as I said, our philosophy locally and nationally is to get as many people to the feast as possible. So part of my job is to, as festival advisor, is to help Mr. Luker administer festival assistance. I'd like to read a page out of the policy statement of the church on festival assistance. It says, God's command to keep his feast is a wonderful blessing to those who understand their meaning and purpose. And most members view the fall feast as the spiritual highlight of the year. Just as there are always those who are needy throughout the year, there are always some who need assistance to be able to attend the Feast of Tabernacles and Last Great Day. When God commanded ancient Israel to keep their festival tithe, he also instructed to share that tithe with others, particularly with the Levites. The New Testament is full of instructions about being generous and sharing our blessings. Therefore, the principle of giving our excess festival tithe so others can attend in this is in line with biblical principles. Then it says, for those congregations whose donations are all sent to the home office, church pastors will need to send in a festival assistance application for each member needing financial help to attend the feast. And that's what we have always done. Those congregations collecting funds locally will have the choice of handling festival assistance locally or sending their requests to the home office. If they send the requests to the home office, all festival donations collected locally will need to be sent to the home office as well. It is from this pool of funds that we are able to help those members who do not have enough to attend the feast. Since festival assistance is a form of tax-exempt charitable assistance, a bona fide need for such assistance must be established to avoid a charge of private benefit, which is something that the IRS watches over. This is true whether the assistance is distributed from the home office or from a local congregation. This requires documentation to establish what the funds will be used for and why the individual qualifies for assistance. And then it goes on with a little more about what the IRS needs. Okay, in the past, we have sort of stretched both ends of that equation. As it said, that in congregations who use the home office for assistance, we should send all of our monies in. And we've sort of stretched that to on both ends, taking the best of both worlds. And what we're going to do, Mr. Luker and I have decided that we are going to administer the excess second tithe locally. You might wonder what this means exactly. It's not a tremendous amount of money, but it will bring us in line with what the policies are. So what we're going to do is collect excess second tithe locally and administer it locally, with the excess then going to the home office. And that will bring us into line with what the policies are of the church. Last year, from time to time, let me say this, over the years, we have needed funds locally. And I have generally stood up here and say, you know, we do need a little bit of money. And the outpouring of assistance has been phenomenal. You know, this congregation is very generous. Anytime we've needed anything like that, we've gotten what we needed and more. So I'm not hesitant at all to do this, because we will have everything we need and more. So I'd like to commend you for your generosity. We can easily do this, I think. We still will use the forms that the Home Office has sent, but we will administer this locally. And as I've said, our philosophy is to get as many people to the feast as possible. And I think we can do this without a problem. We are a family here, and it really has been that way. What has happened in the past, we have collected funds and distributed them as a church. Also amongst yourselves, many times, people have seen a need and filled that need, and there's no reason to change that at all. So through this, we will continue to help those who need help, and those of you who have excess can continue to help people that you see that are in need, and also to donate to the local fund, and we will distribute it that way. So that basically is the change that I wanted to talk about. The feast is coming faster than we would like to think, probably. If anyone does need help, please see us. There are people sometimes who need rides, who need to share housing, and so forth. I can act as a clearinghouse for that, as can Jerry and Sharon Berg. Because I was gone in Idaho, they know more about who's going where than I do, but feel free to contact them. So with this, let's continue to think about the feast. I know every payday we generally think about the feast because we're putting money aside. But let's put in the back of our head that we want everyone to enjoy the feast the way that we do. So let's be generous and fill this need that is there. And I think God will be well pleased with what we're doing.